I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. The readings today are in some ways challenging and in other ways very enlightening. For we began with a reading that not too many years ago you never would have heard read in the church as a public reading for the day from the book of Genesis about Hagar and her being sent out into the wilderness and that God was with her in the wilderness. We wouldn't have read that. And it's a powerful reading because it's indicating that God is a God of equality and love and inclusion. That even though Hagar was seen as less than in the framework culture of her day, she was still upheld by God. And even though she was, in a sense, ashamed, God did not turn his back on her. It is representative of the inclusiveness of God. And one of the reasons it wouldn't have been read was because we didn't uphold with equality women. And we also looked at askance because Hagar's son, who was fathered by Abraham, was seen to be metaphorically the father of Islam. And a lot of people have often forgotten that Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all have and are called Abrahamic religions because they trace themselves back to Abraham. And this is the tracing. So we wouldn't have had that read, but we read it today. And then our second reading was also a reading of challenge, but it's also about equality. And our third reading, the gospel, is also one because we have the challenge about Jesus saying that I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. And a lot of people read that and are shocked by it. But we have to remember that we are looking at a new paradigm. Jesus is bringing about a new paradigm where the power of the love of Jesus Christ is overcoming the framework of the culture we are born into. That Jesus came to challenge the culture of his day. Now, in Jesus' day, you might be interested in this. The average length of time that a person lived in the time of Christ, how long do you think? Give a number in your mind. Women lived to about the age of 35, and men died at 33, as a general rule. And women started bearing children around the age of 11. Got to think about that. And so there was no such thing as a teenager. All these things of teenage angst that we know about now didn't exist. You played until you were about 4. You went to work in the fields when you were 5. And you started having children at the age of 11 or 10 or 11. And you'll be dead at 33. So if we lived in the time of Jesus, all of us wouldn't be here except for the children. That puts a whole new framework on things. And what we have to understand is that how do we interpret the scripture written in this time when this was the reality? Written within a framework. And now we live today where the average age of people is much older. The average age now, I think, is something like 83 for women and 81 for men. Some of us are beyond that already. And so how we understand things, we have to start to get inside of what was written in the scripture and understand the framework within which it was written. How do we see authority? We are a progressive community of Christian people, and we have to start to rethink authority. For we live here in the valley where there is one standard of authority, but Anglicans have taken another road of authority. There is the old standard of authority, which said that the Scripture is inerrant. There's no mistakes in Scripture, and what the doctrine of the church is said once for all time. And by the year of 320, the church has adopted the Roman understanding of authority. The Christian understanding of authority had been wiped away, and the church, as it became accepted by the Roman Empire, accepted the Roman rule of authority, a dogmatic, unchanging doctrinal statement. This is how it is. And the church fought that out for about 100 years through 4 different councils, trying to name what is Jesus and so on. And then they said, this is the doctrine. This is what it is. But it's tried to set everything in stone. And some people want to hold to that. The Anglican Church said, no, we're on a journey. And we're on a journey that follows an alive Jesus. And as Jesus is in his own time demonstrated through his action, and we believe that Jesus is the voice and the love of God on earth in a human form, we have to start to see beyond the early doctrines and get beyond that. And two weeks ago, we talked about the Trinity being an alive dance of relationship of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and us. And that we are involved in an alive, relational way of moving forward. And the Anglican Church said, we have to see God as an alive force in our lives. And so we have to reinterpret what is authority. And so today we see authority going back to the early Jewish and early Christian way of understanding authority, not as stone tablets written in the ground, but more like authorship. So authority is like authorship. And you know, an author has freedom to write and to freedom to interpret and a freedom to see things in a vital, ongoing, lively relationship. That there is truth then, that the truth's maintained, but the way of understanding the truth can move with what's happening, move and led by the Spirit. And that Jesus is that way too. That Jesus knew the doctrine of the Jews, but he said, I'm here to challenge that framework. That's what's in the gospel today. I'm here to challenge the framework. And if you remember when you read the scripture, symbolically he sat with women. He sat with a woman at the well. He sat with Samaritans. He sat with tax collectors. He sat with lepers. He was with the outcast. And he challenged the norms of the day. And we as Christians living today, in 2017, are also being asked to challenge our norms, to fall in line with the message of love that Jesus lived. I got asked the other day about, what did I think about assisted death? Now that was a question that I wasn't really expecting to have happen. But then I started to pray and reflect upon it. You know, assisted death with all the diseases that come from our genetics wasn't an issue in the time of Jesus. If you're dead at 33 or 35, those genetic illnesses are not emerged. You know, they come later. Well, they didn't know about them because people were dead. They died with their disease unmanifested. And so we have to start thinking about the issues of our own time and know that God is with us, dancing with us, being present and alive with us in our own time. That we have to do it ethically, we have to do it reasonably, but we have to also do it in love and compassion and with understanding. It's challenging because you always have to be thinking through what would Jesus do in this situation based on the principles that we have from the scripture and from the historic record of church's ministry, but what do we do today in 2017? And we have to call upon the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus' love that resides within us. Remember, we mentioned that Anglicans understand an immanency of God within each of us. God is not away from us up there somewhere. We know the world isn't flat, but God is imminently within us and within all things. And so we call upon that sense of love, and we call upon that sense of reason as Anglicans, as we think about how do we live in this world today. This way of approaching life and its issues is known as an emergent way of walking with God. And I'm going to spend some time over the next few weeks unpacking some of those words and looking at what it means to be a progressive person. Some of us may find it challenging, and others of us may find it life-giving and freeing. But the basic foundational stone is not new. The basic foundational stone is that God is love, that God is charity, that God is restorative, and that all of us living are signs of God's love to the world. And so I want us to start thinking about and give us words and tools to help us make our own life decisions as a progressive people. You notice that in our service, we don't have a creed very often. We have a statement of faith. We have faith in God that is present and journeying with us. We are not going to say, this is what God is, which is what a statement of faith is. A creed is, because we don't understand all of God. If we think we do, that's blasphemy. Because we cannot control God. God is always a surprise. God was a surprise to the Jews living in his own time when Jesus was present, seeking and including the outcasts. God was a surprise when Hagar was loved and cared for in the wilderness with her son. God is always a vibrant surprise. On a journey with us, just as God was on a journey with Hagar. On a journey with the woman at the well. On a journey with the Good Samaritan. On a journey with the lepers. God is on a journey with us. We are not alone, but we are in an active, dynamic relationship with God. And so today, as we receive the sacrament to which we're all invited, it's in a sense of an alive God that is alive with us. A faith that is alive, which assists us in meeting the challenges of living in 2017 and beyond. When we are alive dealing with issues that people in the time of Jesus didn't know about. But God is there with them then, and God is here with us now, helping us formulate responses to the issues of our own time in a godly way. I pray that all of us may be dependent upon God, dependent upon the Holy Spirit as we journey together as a whole people of God. May God bless us all. Amen.